Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio. We're also broadcasting simulcasts on the eSETI Stargate, and so where you can actually interact with us after the show. So that's a new addition that we've done. I know BBS went through the fires there in Paradise, and they lost all their equipment, but they're back up and running now. So as an alternative, we put them up on put everything up on the eSETI Stargate. There's so much going on right now as we're doing this recording right now. The energies are off the scale. I've been watching the Schumann resonance going from, 7.8 up to 69 just in the past 3 days. And, this is, I believe, Monday that we're doing this pre-record. But I'm sure we're going to have a lot more of that. And I know it's all tied in with the shifts and the changes, and people are really feeling a massive shift right now. So, a lot of agitation, a lot of healing, a lot of all kinds of things going on. So without any further ado, I want to bring my guest on. We've got Eric Raines, and after an intense energetic activation in 2012, Eric became aware of the implantation and parasitic construct by direct observation. His subsequent search for answers about his experience led him to on a journey to self-discovery. This journey, coupled with ample real-world practice, allowed him to gain a deep understanding in his invasive system, how to promote self-protection through daily practices, how to remove these false constructs from himself and others. Constantly expanding his repertoire of tools, Eric currently implements energetic tools ranging from parasite implant removal, meridian clearing, balancing, crystalline organ rejuvenation, theta healing, soul fragment retrieval, remote lymphatic work, and golden light energy work. Physical-based practice such as quantum phase breathing, reverse breathing, self-lymphatic massage, cycle stretching, qigong, and meditation are also used. Eric is an ardent advocate of aiding the entire human race to achieve their full natural potential. And Eric's calling is called to teach as many as he can as a decoder of this hidden esoteric knowledge. Eric considers it it's his duty, his life purpose to share this information with the world to free all of humanity from the ravages of this system and to help create a world filled with love and light. So without any further ado, Eric, are you with us?
I am. Thank you so much for having me, James.
Yeah, I was kind of struggling through your intro, unfortunately, because I just got it and I didn't have a chance to pre-read it or anything else. But a lot of interference going on, boy. It's crazy. And I've also been up to my elbows in baby lambs and goats. They all decided to birth at the same time, it seems like. So I just barely got in time to do the interview. But anyway, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be here.
You know, I wanted to get right into it because for, God, like, I don't know, 35 years, I've been talking about unseen negative influences and, psychic bonds and all these other things going on. And, I've gotten so much crap for so many years about talking. They go, well, you're just focusing on the dark side. Creating fear porn, the latest ones I've been hearing, that's the new one. And then all these people say, well, I'm already in the fifth dimension. I don't need any of this. It's kind of hilarious, but just curious on your take on some of what you've been experiencing.
Definitely. So these invisible psychic phenomenon that you're talking about, just because we can't see inside of the spectrums that they exist inside of does not mean that they're not, real, and our visible light is, a very, very tiny, tiny fraction of the entire electromagnetic perception. And my whole job is to show people how to start creating the resonances that are inside of the invisible light, which is the other 99.999% of everything there. And inside of that, you can start waking up your awareness of these invisible interferences, and you can start recognizing them. And more importantly, when you start recognizing them, you can do something about it. And, people saying that they're in the fifth dimension, they very well might be emotionally, mentally, or energetically operating in those frequencies, but the bottom line is their physical body is still in a 3D physical body. And until they can integrate those very high concepts of esoteric energy into the physical, you know, it's going to still not be fifth dimensional reality. And what I've been experiencing is when I start explaining these things and I show people how they work, and more importantly, I show them how to tap into their own energy to start releasing and to clear these things out, it's really an amazing process. I mean, miraculous doesn't even cut it. You know, like, I see people who have had some of the worst depressions their whole entire life for decades, or chronic injuries, or diseases, or things along these lines, and they start taking their health into their own control. And I'm literally watching these people turn into somebody who is programmed to follow the behavior, follow the program, follow the order, and all of a sudden they're stepping into their own sovereignty, and they're turning into just brilliant, amazing people, energetically, physically, and emotionally. And I got to tell you, like, we are going through such an amazing process right now, and just to be able to see it from the perspective I do, it's a blessing. It's really, truly an honor.
Yeah, we have a saying here, just because you're dead doesn't mean you're enlightened, and just because you're an ET doesn't mean you're benevolent. And we try to explain, you know, teach people self-mastery. Here's how you heal these unseen negative influences. And it's all about self-mastery, and the closer you get to nirvana, the more the demons rear their ugly heads. That's the old yogic principle. But it seems like there seems to be a major resistance, even in the field of ufology, where they're saying there are no negative ETs, you know, some of the, won't mention his name, but he tells everybody, open wide and let anything come into your body and take control. And I go, are you serious? That's the most irresponsible thing I've ever heard. And how can somebody that professes to be in touch with all the yogic principles and be enlightened not acknowledge, you know, what all the ancient scriptures and even cave walls have told us, you know, since the beginning of time, that there are these forces?
Yeah. Yeah, and especially when you just open up and you let anything come through, you know, one of the basic things about that is you're just not really claiming your own space. You're not being sovereign with your space. And let's look at it from, you know, the other side. You know, what if we are the ones infecting other consciousnesses that we come into because we have no barriers? You know, humankind mm-hmm. has got a lot of darkness that's going through the subsurface that's really coming up to the forefront right now, and we're starting to see a lot of this actually being dealt with in the physical, just not just the energetic. And when you start looking at it like that, you know, it's like, hey, maybe it's not all right to just put our consciousness out everywhere and allow all this unchecked contact, you know, and that's just from our side because, you know, the Earth is a very dense place, and there's a lot of pure, beautiful light that is outside of our planet that doesn't have the infection that we have going on here. And so just from that perspective, you know, it's all about self-responsibility and cleaning up your own mess. But then on the other side, you know, it's, I prefer to be in control of myself. I prefer to allow myself to surrender to energy, not to other people's will, other people's consciousness, other people's way that they want to interact inside of reality. And it feels natural that way, you know? It's supposed to be me in here, not anybody else. And when we just kind of put up those barriers about, hey, I can interact with you on the outside, you don't have to be in here to interact with me, it really just kind of, it puts things into perspective the way it makes it a lot easier to pick and choose and feel what is benevolent and what is not.
Well, it does seem there's so many years of programming, you know, of these external gods, you know, and, you know, even the people say, I don't believe in God, you know, I always say, which God don't you believe in? You know, you've got the Egyptian God, the Greek gods, all the different gods out there. But, you know, all the masters, the true masters that walked the earth always said, you know, the temple is within, and to go within and make your own personal connection with, you know, God, creator, great spirit, whatever you want to call it. And a lot of the religions, unfortunately, don't realize the real history, what really unfolded there, you know, because those were the ancient gods, the Anunnaki and things like that. Wherever you have a bearded god, you know, an external god like that, that's, you know, you're actually worshiping the ancient ones that came here a long time ago. And some were benevolent and some were tyrants. So, you know, the Bible is a good indicator of that. You read the Old Testament and God's a jealous, wrathful tyrant. that nobody can appease. And then you get the teachings of Jesus, and he talks about God being all loving and all forgiving. And so either God is totally schizophrenic, or they don't have all the information, one or the other, you know.
Yeah, you know, these religious texts, they can only tell it from mankind's perspective. We don't have the histories of these God entities, these God creatures. And, you know, if you look at things like the story of Abraham, who was told to sacrifice his first son, and, you know, this is something that he never thought was coming. And as soon as he heard his God telling him to do that, he said, okay, I'm going to do that. But then all of a sudden you have an angel who's wrestling with him. You know, this is what we start looking at. You know, this is when the demiurge started taking over that goddess collective, that pure God energy that these people were tapping into that started to get infected, and they started to demand blood sacrifice. And then you have beings of light that come down and try to stop it. You know, we're looking at like a cosmic war in our history books right there.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's pretty obvious. I think we have to get, you know, I always use Ezekiel as a classic example. You know, you've got a shiny disc coming out of the firmament. You know, it has bronze feet like calves and fire and brimstone coming out from underneath it. When it lands, it sounds like 1,000 rushing rivers. And to them, that was God. You know, that was God interacting with humanity. But you look at it from our reference points now, and you go, wow, that was a landing. That was a major ship.
Yeah.
And then you go further into it. You know, right after that, this being named God, supposedly, steps out and orders six of his men with their shattering weapons to destroy all the men, women, and children of Israel, which is the origin of the wrathful God. You know, so, you know, we really need to not look at it by the symbology of the past and the ignorance of the past. They did the best they could with what they were seeing. But we have to start applying the knowledge we have now to this. And you know, like yesterday's magic is basically today's science, basically.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I truly believe that's where we're making a full return to. And that's what's so interesting about what I do on my end is that I came from a massage therapy, a physical therapy, and chiropractic background. And so I have a lot of the technical know-how of the way that the body works. And when I started coming into concepts with these yogic principles, with these ancient Chinese principles of energy movement, it really started to really make a resonance of like, oh my goodness, this is what they were talking about. This is how it works. This is how we can take it further. And I truly, truly believe that we're watching a full remembrance of the past with our technical know-how and information understanding of today, so that we can apply it to a much greater purpose, or more importantly, a better result than the ancients were ever able to do, because they just didn't have the technology of today as well. And I think this is exactly what we start seeing with those types of craft, with those types of understandings of esoteric energy, is that return, that melding of the science, the technology, and the spirit.
Yeah, I agree. You know, with the ships, you know, a lot of people, you know, believe, you know, there's all these different groups out there, and one group thinks they're just nuts and bolts, you know, and it's just back engineered. Another group thinks they're Nazis. You know, another group thinks they're time travelers. And another group, you know, thinks they're Pleiadians and the Orion Council of Light and Andromedans and things like that. And they're all holding on to their piece of pie, unfortunately. And if they stopped and started listening to all of the experiences and accounts, they'd realize, you know, that it's more all the above.
Yes, exactly. It's not just this one piece or that one piece. It's all of them. All of it's happening right now. Like, this is a free will universe right here, and we are in one of the biggest turns of energetic shifting in history. You know, there's a lot here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, there's the old saying, gods don't do boring things. You know, we all incarnated to have these experiences. But, you know, I have my own near-death experiences and returning. There's a part of me that's going, what was I thinking?
You know? Yeah, there's definitely some surreal moments when we go down this path where it's like, oh, wow, is that what I signed for? Oh, okay. Okay, let's do this then. All right.
I'm starting to get that saying, you know, silly humans, you know, you know, not to be arrogant because I am human, but I just see stuff and I go, well, okay, I was lost. You know, I did the same thing. You know, I started out, you know, in the desert town, and I went through the redneck phase, and, was hunting and fishing, all that stuff. I went through all those phases, you know, and so I understand them. But you know, I was even commercial real estate, and I had my own office and all these people working for me. But after the drowning, I just couldn't go back to that at all. But I understand all those different beliefs, but it's like I'm just hoping one day we just evolve beyond all that and stop separating and dividing into all these different niches.
Yeah. And, you know, that's the thing, is it's all about the inclusion. Like, we are going through a planetary shift, and it's not just this one group or that one group. It's all of us together. And there are so many different levels of blockage inside of our genetic history, our ancestral history, inside of our sociological, the environmental, the political programming, the energetic programming. Everything that's happening right now, it's indicative of the symptoms that we feel internally, this angst that we have, these angers, these programs that, you know, you look out on the road where you're driving on the freeway and everybody's pissed off at each other and they're all yelling at each other. And, you know, it's all these programs that we feel inside of us that are indicative of damage from a very long time ago that ended up creating the situations we have in our life right now. And as we individually go into what we don't enjoy and we start to clean it, we start to heal it, it starts to go back to these original programs, these traumas in the past and the history and the genetics, and it starts to reverse that. It starts to heal that. And as we do that, everything starts to shift through and it cleans out and it opens up into a deeper level of understanding, a deeper level of connection. And this is where we have to start really making this understanding, because like the story, the words, this is where everybody gets trapped inside of. This is where everybody gets stuck inside of. And then we ignore the language of light and the energy that's going along with these programs that are creating the thoughts, which create the emotions, which create the actions, which create the words that we're speaking at each other. And when we start really going deeper into, I want to feel good, I want to heal myself from the junk that I've got going on, and I don't ever want to have to deal with these feelings that I've been carrying with me for God knows how long. And as you go in and you clean those out, you start reaching on a deeper level, and it's much easier to see somebody in one of those other groups that you before you were yelling at. Suddenly that person is in just as much pain as you, but you can recognize it now, and the only reason that person is acting that way is because it's the only thing that alleviates their damage. Once you can connect on that level, you can see on that level, that's where you can really make pure connection. That's how we transcend these groups and we go out of the me thought into the we thought.
Exactly. There's you know, being, I had some encounters with the Orion Council of Light, and they showed me, you know, all of my past lives and snippets. Well, not all of them, but most of them. And I've done everything. You know, I was a road bandit. I was a Viking warrior. You know, I hacked off heads. I was a cripple, you know, and I had a lot of lifetimes as yogis and lamas as well, in other dimensions too, in the Pleiades and Orion Council of Light and places like that. But having that knowledge and remembering, I know, you know, what drives you to killing, you know, because as a Viking, my family was killed, and my kids and my wife and everything else, and I just became a merciless warrior, and I had to heal that within myself, and that was popping up until I owned it and healed it, and then the cripple part kept coming up, and all these things kept coming up until I cleared them within myself. But it does bring compassion, I think, awareness, when you realize you've done all this and you know what drives you to do it, then you understand why people behave the way they behave. Although it is in line with universal law, it definitely, it's just a big process. Everybody's just working their stuff out.
Yeah. And that's the thing, you know, we look at this surface world where we operate that is so far disconnected from the energy and the emotions that are happening under the surface that we really don't pay much attention to. And when we look at the surface world and we see all of these things that are happening right now, all of these explosions that are energetically and emotionally happening that create this turmoil on the outside, yes, it definitely gives compassion and understanding when you see it from that perspective and you recognize what is causing that type of behavior. And the thing is, though, people are responsible for their behavior. And so understanding, it only goes so much. And if people want to keep on pushing boundaries, if they want to keep on infringing their will upon you, that's when you have to really start stepping into that compassionate boundary and recognize that, hey, I get the way that you're acting, but you're not allowed to do that to me. This is my boundary. You're not allowed to cross it, and I love you. And just leave it at that. And that right there really starts to open up a doorway for people to act with dignity and grace. And inside of dignity and grace, when you're having that type of an emotion or that type of energy directed at you, it's really kind of hard to be angry at somebody who's worried for your welfare, or, you know, somebody who wants to make sure that you have a warm belly and, you know, that you're not experiencing rain falling on you. You've got a roof, you know, and you have that concern when you're directing it at people. They really fall short with that anger and that hostility, because it's almost like trying to yell at your grandma, you know? It's all about recognizing that we are responsible for our behavior, but this understanding is what allows that doorway to begin to open up on a much deeper level. It's really a fun process to see it in action.
Yeah, I think one of the major things we're lacking right now on the earth is personal responsibility. And, you know, all these marches and everything, you know, and I'm probably going to open up a can of worms, but, you know, I see the women's march, and I see a lot of toxic feminine there going on, and then they start calling out for Sharia law and everything, and I'm going, do you have any idea what Sharia law is? You know, a dog has more rights under Sharia law, you know, than a woman. And you see all this stuff going on, you'll see a lot of young, beautiful women in there just, you know, screaming and yelling, they get caught up in that mindset or that energetic bubble that's going on there. And you just go, wow, that is so sad, you know, when I see that. But I go, you know, they'll do it until they're done with it. And then they'll realize the fruits of that behavior and realize it's not getting them, you know, where they want to go. Because basically they all want to be loved, you know, and that's not the way to do it. But, you know, it's like that wounded child in there screaming for attention and lashing out. And the only way to take care of that is to go within, take personal responsibility and heal it.
Yes.
But if you don't agree with their mission and what they're doing and everything, boy, you're in deep doo-doo, man. It's like, you know, they call you white privilege, fascist. I don't know. What's the other
one? There's all kinds of lovely names around it right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, we got to recognize
that. You're just trying to
get to healing. Yeah, well, that's the thing, is, like, we're also watching a backlash. We're watching, for so long, the patriarchy has been in dominance, and it's not even, the patriarchy as in men have been in dominance, which we have for a long time. You know, there have been exceptions, but for the most part, it's been a male energy in dominance on the planet. And this is where, the trauma to the sacred masculine has created that rapist, warmongering murderer. You know, that's that damage, that trauma that allows you to schism out of the protecting peacekeeper role into that wild card, that damage. And it's been that way for a long time. And the goddess energy that's starting to really rise up on the planet right now, it's this resurgent of this divine feminine that's been wounded for such a long time. And as soon as it was able to get out from underneath this patriarchy type energy, it backlashed. And the powers that were are really pushing these social agendas specifically to inflame that energy to the point where it'll go and backlash as far as it possibly can. And this is where you start seeing, it's no longer about equality. It's about, you give me mine. And that right there.
Yeah.
Where you're coming from, that service to self, and it's not healthy, it's not wholesome, and it's not for the collective. And yes, there needs to be addressing the wounding of the divine feminine. There has to be an addressing of what has happened on this planet for a long time. But we also have to take into account the whole. There's been a massive wound to the sacred masculine as well. You can't turn a protecting, right, loving peacekeeper into a rapist, warmongering murderer without some very severe trauma. And we've been traumatizing each other back and forth. And it's really kind of a lot easier to step outside of it when you recognize that this life right here, and you look back at your past lives, future lives, present lives, you're not always male, you're not always female. And so you can start to understand a little bit more on either side right there. But the bottom line is, when you start demanding your own satisfaction by taking away from other people, you're starting to fall short of the path of truth. You're starting to fall short of the path of rising together, because it's not about me, it's not about you, it's about all of us, including every single person in groups that we don't enjoy, you know? So it's all about just finding that place inside of us that responds to what is coming up inside of whatever it might be, and recognizing that, hey, I don't like the way that this feels inside of me. Why is that? Start going into that. Start figuring out where the traumas are. Start figuring out where the damage is. And take that personal responsibility and get yourself all nice and healed up so that you don't ever have those triggers again.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, it even goes back to cellular memory, like you're saying, because you used to pillage a village, you know, and you'd take the women and the gold and, you know, keep the ones you liked and trade off the ones you didn't. And for years, you know, satraps would toss a young girl, you know, they'd grab them at the age of 12, and when they got a little older, they'd toss them out in the streets again. And so there's a lot of that, you know, cellular memory going on, and then there's stuff that's happened in this life as well. But those are hooks for the other energy to hook into, the unseen energy that comes in. And I think that energy feeds off of these movements, you know, that have the separation game playing on. And that's what I tell people, you know, all this race card, this gender card, all these separation games that are going off, is that these other entities are feeding off of that, and the global elite are financing it. And it's time to just step back and step out of that system and align yourself with universal law and focus on love and joy and bliss and service to others. And that's when you're being a benefit, you know. But it's rough, you know, because people are so caught up in these movements.
Yeah, and that's exactly why we have to be a pillar of what is possible. And when you really start going deep into this, when you start cleaning out the past lives and you start cleaning out the cellular memory, you start cleaning out the racial memory, you start cleaning out the ancestral memory, what ends up happening is that you kind of really de-trigger yourself from any interaction and hooking on that what you're just talking about right there, where you have all of these, I guess you could say, fishing lines that are out with these hooks on the end of them that are just waiting for people to have something that's exposed to catch, and now all of a sudden they can pull on it, they can expose it, and they can make it bigger. And this starts to create dysfunction internally, and when you start creating that anger, that fear, that any type of resonance that is not of the high vibrations of joy, of love, of excitement, you're creating a heaviness, a blockage, and this is what they use to fester to make it worse, and that's what they feed off of. This is that loose energy that they talk about. And when we have the ability to go in and start really figuring out where we came from, who we are, and watching these triggers as they pop up and taking responsibility for them, not just expecting the program to play itself out, but halting the program as it's triggered, going in and replacing it with what you want, which is joy, which is love, which is excitement, which is connection. And it dissolves the whole entire system from that point forward, and you can literally go in to these triggers and you can see people throwing these energetic hooks, these barbs, and trying to get a rise or a reaction. And they can feel it when you don't have a reaction other than positive, of love, of joy. And this gives you the ability to really be that rock in the storm, that stable strength, that stable light in the darkness. And people recognize that. And they don't recognize it on just the mental level inside of the words. They feel it. And it's something that they can truly feel and recognize as, you know, that person's got something going on. I don't know what it is, but there's just something about them. And it feels good. I think I want to actually try to replicate it. You know, what would that person do? What would that person feel in this situation? And then you all of a sudden have created a shift, and they start looking on deeper levels, and they recognize they don't have to be hurting. They don't have to be reactionary. There's a better way.
I love what Bob G said. He said the best contribution you can give is to live a thoroughly loving, joyous, abundant life, you know, and, you know, basically be an example to others. And rather than being a victim and trying to take from everybody, you know, which is seems the socialist program is trying to create right now, you know, why not, you know, you're giving your power away. And when you take something from somebody, you keep taking from somebody, pretty soon they stop giving or they stop producing, and so that we all know where that goes. And we have a long history of where socialism has taken us, but there is something new coming. I don't know exactly what it is. I know it's not going to be socialism, but it's not going to be capitalism without consciousness either. You know, there's definitely something coming in.
You know, and that's that right there. I can't wait to see what we end up evolving out of this. I truly believe that the Babylonian slave money magic system is on its way out. And we've got so many aspects of the collective consciousness that are trying to create alternatives. You've got the crypto market. You've got buying and selling and trading for pure goods itself. And you've got all of these different things that are starting to pop up, Ubuntu communities, this contributionism understanding where, you know, we have a whole bunch of people who can go and live in one place and all of a sudden we don't need money because we can build our own houses and we can grow our own food. And that's pretty much what you need money for anyway. And, you know, all of these things are starting to rise up right now. And I think we're seeing, just like with everything else we were talking about, these little slices of the pie. And I think it's starting to create a mosaic for the whole, the new society of abundance that is starting to be birthed inside of the collective right now. Because we can't keep going on the way that we are right now. This scarcity Babylonian slave money magic system that we exist under, until you understand that money is nothing more than an excuse for abundance to get out of your hands, then you can't really recognize the way that this can work. You can't really see the way that the money understands itself underneath the whole entire collective quotient. And once you can understand that, then you can start moving your energy and create more abundance for yourself on a monetary scale. But it's still, it's a shallow, very dull pittance compared to what opening yourself up to the true abundance of the universe actually means. And it's a huge collective blanket that's in the way from us experiencing a complete and total openness and understanding that we can have everything that we truly need. All we have to do is kind of create a situation to where it provides itself for us.
Mm-hmm. I think some of the blocks on that happening are, one, as you're talking about, there's this mentality of lack that is going on, and it's manufactured, and people have been under it for so long. You know, if they had any idea how many trillions and trillions of dollars are siphoned off, you know, to the global elite, leaving us with a bone, and if that money went back into the system, you know, we would all be abundant. You know, there wouldn't be any poverty or anything else. It just wouldn't exist. And that's the thing, is to get people, look, you've been living under fear and poverty and lack and survival for so long. You know, you've got to break those programs, those old patterns, to begin with, or this other system won't work. Like the Ubuntu movement, you know, with Michael Tellinger. I love what he's doing. He's a good friend of mine. But if you go in there with a sense of entitlement and you think everybody owes you something and you don't want to break those old patterns, you're just going to recreate another mess. And it seems like all go back to consciousness. This new system won't work unless the people are conscious.
Exactly. That's actually something I'm engaged with right now. We're starting the preliminary movements towards getting our own piece of land so that we can create this space right here. And, you know, it's not that anybody owes us anything. It's that when you come and you live on this land, you have to exist as a working cog inside of it, and it will provide for you. And that right there, you know, we're trying to get this working model up and going, but, you know, bottom line, money gets in the way, you know?
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
That's the whole problem with everybody who's got anything going on the conscious level right now, is there's just not enough of the physical monetary level to really start fleshing these out. And this is what we have to start paying attention to right here. This is bringing our attention to that lack that you're talking about, that feeling of not having enough on this world, when the exact opposite is the truth. We just don't have what we want. And what we truly need is food, water, and shelter. That is it. That is truly the only things that we actually need. And we have so many things that have been programmed into us that we need on the other levels, that are on the guise of technology, connection with people, you know, so many different other things that we truly believe are not able to be released from our life right now, when in fact the bottom line is we need food, water, and shelter. That is it. Anything else comes from that, that's extra, and you can always work towards that. But if you have your basic shelter, food, and water situation met, then right then you don't really have to pay for anything outside of your life. And you can start to really refine yourself. You can start to not have to break yourself every day with a 9-to-5 job, You don't have to worry about your bills. You don't have to worry about any of this. You've got the basics taken care of, and then you can refine what you are passionate about. And that right there, it can blossom into something that can spread to the entire world. You can create something that people will pay you for from that space simply because you don't have the stress of the everyday world on top of you. That's what we're trying to get going. That's what we're trying to create right here. And, you know, we have very great examples in a smaller, microscopic type of understanding as in individuals. We haven't been able to bring this into the group yet, but as soon as we start getting a group session of meditative minds, of collective energy, of excitement and growth inside of this, we start putting it together and it has no choice but to be formed. And, you know, I haven't even physically started trying to go after this. Just energetically, I've been putting it in to the ether, just putting it out there and saying, this is what we need. This is what's going to happen. And already people are finding this dream and they're coming to me with it. You know, we've got crazy how fast this came up, this core group of people that we are all gung-ho about this. We want to live on a massive tract of land and create one of the most pristine pieces of organic farm culture that is possible in a place that we don't really have to work for it. It's a lot of work to set it up, but once it's set up, it just provides. And all you have to do is kind of cultivate it. That's it.
And you know, there's nothing more enjoyable. Oh, go ahead. Well, I was saying there's nothing more enjoyable, you know, than getting on all fours and having your hands in the dirt. You know, I tell people that they go, what brings you the most joy? And I said, being in nature and gardening, basically, and helping people to awaken and heal. And, you know, they look at you really weird, like, you know, well, don't you want to go here or do this or do that? And I said, nah, not really. You know, I could, but, you know, it's when you really get to that 0 point connection, everything simplifies. It becomes very simple and easy. Yeah. And that's the problem. There's so much confusion out there and craziness and so many different beliefs and structures, and this is what it needs to be. And, you know, after 30 years of doing it here, actually 33 years of doing it here, I think I've come across everything imaginable, every form of human belief system imaginable. You know, everything from people wanting to put tanks at the front gate to not doing anything, just, you know, just the universe is going to take care of you and you don't have to do anything. You know, and you know, from the sense of entitlement to demanding to, you know, if you don't, they come here, and if I don't have the sandals and the white robes and have a towel on my head and don't behave exactly the way they think I should behave, you know, then they go for your throat, you know. So it's kind of interesting watching the human experience unfold and this path to that enlightenment. And I've also seen everybody just give their power away to, you know, if you talk the talk, you know, you have the right gear on and everything else, you know, people will just give all their power away to you and their assets as well, which that's happened here. That experiment failed as well. So there's something in the middle. I think basically what it boils down to, each person has to contribute. They have to take personal responsibility for their attitudes and emotions and what's coming up from them and own it and seek help, you know, to clear that. And maintain a frequency and remove the blocks, and that's when you're going to experience heaven on earth. But, you know, without that personal responsibility and the tools to clear and heal these other energies, they always fail.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. It always comes back to the individual personal responsibility. And when you look at it on that level, you know, there's a lot of things that we can look at that really kind of make more sense when we understand from a different perspective. Just like you can't really claim or prove to anybody that is not you that they exist, because you're coming from your perspective, and the only thing that you can truly prove is real is you. Because, I mean, let's face it, you might not actually be talking to me. You might be in a coma right now, and this might all be a dream. And there's no way for you to prove that to me, because it's your perspective right there. And when we come back to that, if we can only prove that we truly are real, because everything else is nothing more than perception, and it's in electrical impulses that our brains are interpreting, and when we start looking at it like that, that's when it really starts coming down to, well, shouldn't your passion, shouldn't your happiness be at the forefront of just about everything that you're working for, simply for the fact that it feels good? And if you can't prove that anything else is real, you should be going and operating off of what feels right, what feels just and clean and open. And when we come back to that right there and we operate with these purely sovereign, autonomous consciousnesses that are taking full responsibility for any amount of darkness that they might be creating inside of the world and cleansing the places those are coming from and healing it and broadcasting just this pure love, joy, vibration to the world at large. You start putting groups of people like that operating together into one place, it forces a shift in the vibrational resonance of everything around those people. Their field goes out and it interlocks and it interconnects and it starts to create a tiny collective pocket inside of the massive collective field. And you cannot fight the collective. This is the program that is designing the matrix and how our physics work and how this world operates in physical reality. But what you can take control over is your internal world. Enough people who take control over this internal world, heal their damage, heal their injuries on the physical, emotional, mental level, whatever it might be, and then they come together and they harmoniously operate together, they create a little pocket that then miracles, physical miracles can happen inside of that. And that's exactly what we're looking at right here. It's these little understandings, these little pockets, they're starting to pop up around the world. And I'm not the only one doing this type of work, you know, and there's so many people who are finding their ways to this just by naturally following the sensations inside of themselves. But what we're doing is creating a field. And inside of this field of energy, there's much more bright, high vibration emotions and energies that are possible inside of the net, inside of the collective. And what this is doing is it's not that there's more galactic energy coming in, it's more is able to be accessed, more is able to be opened up. And as more energy is accessed, more is able to be opened up, you find more and more people waking up, more and more people releasing their baggage, releasing their heaviness, and following into these light levels of understanding and sovereignty, and they're making that field bigger. More information is coming in. These are literally those waves of energy that we're feeling coming into the planet right now that we've got all this help with working on the outside and the inside. But this is why we're here. We came here specifically to incarnate into this darkness so that we could create this field of light so that as they're reaching down, we're reaching up. And then that ionization hits and there's that electric connection. That's what we're here for.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what I tell people here. I said, we're here to maintain a frequency. And we have to hold that frequency because we're on a stargate here, you know, and it's a major vortex. And, you know, anybody can create a vortex. You know, the more you focus on love and joy and bliss and anchor that into your own body and into the earth, you're going to establish an opening, you know, to the higher dimensions, and then that spreads out. But if you do that in a group, you know, it's amazing what you can generate, you know, and this is already like an acupuncture point for the planet. So when you do work here, it's extremely amplified. And there's a positive side and a negative side to that. Well, I think it's both positive, but, you know, one, when you come here, people feel the energy and they go, God, I'm home. You know, this is what I've been looking for all my life and everything else. But in about 3 days, all their crap comes up. And I always tell them, I go, well, tell me that in about 3 days. You know, about 3 days later, they are in their stuff and it's coming up. And some people can hold off for a week or two and some people, you know, a couple months and, you know, but it does, you can't stay without facing, you know, your necromancers or whatever, your old wounds and traumas and things. They are going to come up, but luckily there's enough masters here that are just going to say, hey, you know what? I feel your pain. I feel what you're going through, but, this isn't going to work projecting this on others and, you know, creating a lot of drama here and trauma. You know, maybe, if you need some help with that, you know, we'll sit down and you know, walk you through it or whatever. And that's kind of what we do here on a regular basis. But, you know, I noticed lately it's my tolerance level for that has gone, way down. It's like, before I used to be really patient and I'd wait and I'd have forever patience and people get 25 strikes and you're out. And now I'm going, look, are we going to heal this or are you just going to? I'm going to keep doing this dance because I'm not doing this dance.
Yeah, that's really funny. You know, it gets to the point to where you've done this enough times, you understand the process, you see how it works, and you just can't understand why other people don't get it as quickly. And this is actually something I've really been working with in myself. It's an impatience level that, you know, other people don't have the energetic understanding I do simply for the fact that they weren't taught it yet. And they haven't practiced with it yet. And so when I start talking to people who are obviously engaged in yelling their traumas at each other, and I start to bring the attention onto how they're actually feeling and what's going on inside of them, and I see these blank stares and these non-understanding looks that are like, why are you even talking about this right now? You know, it really irritates me on that level, and it has given me such an amazing trigger to work on, because you know, I used to be that person. I was that person screaming my traumas out into the cold night, you know, and I understand where it comes from, and it really allows me to step back and say, okay, all right, so if somebody would have come to me and told me at that point in time in my life what I'm telling them right now, I probably would have told them to go kick rocks. So let's see if I can start tailor-fitting this in a different direction, and let's see if I can start sparking a different way, because, you know, we have to speak to the God inside of everybody, this source creation spark that is our soul, that animates our body. It truly is holy, and each and every person who is alive has access to this holiness. And when we can start really taking a deep breath into what we're feeling, that pulling up to the surface and like, well, let's just get this done, and we can really sit back and let people go at their own process, that's when we start seeing the people really shine forward. And, you know, it takes a lot of learning, and you've been doing this for so long, I completely and totally get that. Like, it's frustrating to see people who don't understand what you know instinctively and you can feel in your cellular memory, and you're showing them and they just don't get it. You know, it's an opportunity for you to start working on triggers inside of yourself on a different level. You know, frustration, it's a trigger just as much as trauma.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not as bad as trauma, but, you know, there's definitely stuff inside of there that starts opening up doors for you to look into a completely different level and understanding, and it opens up an understanding inside of yourself that then you can start figuring out things that you wouldn't have known beforehand. And I really like to kind of put it into an as above, so below type of a thing when we're looking at energies. Mm-hmm. Like what you're talking about, people coming to your place with this amazing vortex and this beautiful vibration, it's almost like people are getting immersed from the outside into what they know their soul is supposed to feel like. And as this happens, you have all this love, all this joy, all this excitement. These are like, you know, gases that move upwards, hot gas or plasma or things that are active on that level. And then you have hate, you have anger, you have fear. And these are very dense, very heavy. These are like metal. It's very hard to move them. They're always pulling down. And what happens is when you come into a place like where you've got, and people are immersed in these energies, it's like their bodies start to lift up, but their traumas, they're heavy. They don't move. And so the further and up they go, the more high vibrational up they get on that scale, the more these things pull and they become uncomfortable and they become sore. And that's literally it bubbling up to the top, even though it's you're moving up and it's staying right there. And that's why it becomes so obvious. And simple techniques to show people how to tune into that heaviness and to show people how to release that tension, it makes a place like you have just so beautiful, because not only do you have this very high vibrational space, this place where you have all this ET activity, all this energetic activity, you've also got energetic awareness and understanding that can start showing people how to release this. And instead of just them experiencing their darkness and having to show up and get over it and, you know, feel the vibrations, you're allowing people to just grow on such a much, much deeper level. And it's really such a beautiful thing you've got going there, James. Like, I can't wait to visit.
Yeah, I mean, I love it here. There's what I've been dealing with is nothing that, you know, a couple of weeks on a warm, sunny beach and some salt water wouldn't take care of, you know, but, you know, cause it's been pretty intense. But what I've noticed is that just, you know, going through the whole winter and just being buried up here in snow and everything and you know, it's, you know, a lot of people are dealing with cabin fever in their own way, you know.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I used to love it. I used to go here, and I'd tell my parents, I said, oh, I can't go down to the Christmas dinner or whatever because I have to stay here because the pipes will freeze. You know, somebody's got to keep the fire on. And in a way, I was so glad because I was here all by myself, and I had nothing to do other than to meditate, you know, be out in nature. I'd put my snowshoes on and go for a walk and things like that. And I had the most amazing revelations. And I had to let go of everything, all the dependencies and the needs and the external pulls, you know, everything in that process. And it was the best thing that I've ever done. And, you know, it freed me from all that. But it was pretty trying, you know, to go through that process. But I tell people, you know, it's like, you know, this is a gift right now. You know, this is not, you know, this even cabin fever, it's, everything's in your mind. You know, even work, when you're saying, you know, I'm so overworked, that's just in your mind, because if you're not enjoying what you're doing, or then there's some pattern running there that you need to access. And I love what I'm doing. And I get up early in the morning and work till dark and then keep working. But, you know, I'm aligned with what I'm my sole purpose, you might say, you know, so I'm being fed on other levels. But, you know, it just, everything goes back to your, you know, people just learn to own their mind and realize their mind is creating all their problems. And they said that, you know, like with the Lamas say that, they go, you know, all of your personal problems come from the fact that you think you're a person.
<laughs> You know? <laughs> Yeah. It's one of those things when you start recognizing that, you know, you can have all of these problems in your life, and only a few of them might actually be real. You know, like,
yeah.
I ran out of food. That's a real problem. You know?
Exactly.
Like, I'm overworked from my job. When you start looking at it like that and you say, okay, well, I'm overworked from my job. I don't enjoy my job. It's draining me. Okay, well, let's figure something else. Let's figure out something different to do. Let's look at something different to create a fulfillment inside of my life where I can make money off of what I enjoy, what I'm passionate about. You know, and then all of a sudden it's not a problem like you were talking about. And it's just simply recognizing that you can have thousands and thousands and thousands of problems in your entire lifetime. And when it comes down to it, you only actually have like a few real physical problems or a few emotional problems. And it's mostly going over bad things that have happened to you over and over and over again, or doing things that you don't enjoy doing over and over and over again. And that's a mental condition. That's a program. And as soon as you take control of your mind, you take control of your energy, it starts to step into a place of sovereignty to where you are responsible for yourself. And, you know, your experience with the winter and just being by yourself and having to rely completely on yourself, I really wish everybody could experience something like that at least once in their lifetime, to where they recognize that they are the ones that have to make sure that they eat that day. Otherwise, they're not going to.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they're the ones that has to go and chop the wood. Otherwise, they're going to freeze. You know, like that right
exactly.
There. It's personal responsibility and sovereignty on a level that is definitely not easy, but nobody said sovereignty is easy. Taking control of your own crap and not just passing off the buck onto somebody else. That takes a lot of effort, you know, and it takes a lot of work, and it's not an easy thing to do, and I really wish more people could experience something like that.
I'm laughing right now because you're saying taking care of your own crap. Like, our septic tank backed up, and so, and we shut down the other showers, they're all shut down, and so we're sitting here waiting for the septic guy to come pump it, you know, and it's been about 3 days, and we had to do alternative measures, and we had a pipe break, and so we're in 20 degree weather digging this pipe out and putting this so we've got water and things like that. And I was thinking about that, and I said, you know, people need to really rethink a lot of this stuff, because you know, right now, you know, we're looking at the basics. You know, you need water, be nice to take a shower, and nice to be able to go to the bathroom, you know, things like that. And we're buried, you know, under so much snow, it's ridiculous. And, but we can't get in and out right now. I plowed I think I have John Deere tattooed on my butt right now. I've been on that tractor for so long. But, you know, you really look at that, and then people are whining, oh, I didn't get to go to Hawaii, or I didn't get a new car, I didn't get a, you know, and I think experiences like this would be really good for them to see how nice it is just to take a hot shower, or how nice it is to have a toilet that works, you know, or just things of that nature.
Oh, yeah. You know, and here, especially in our first world countries, we don't recognize how rough it actually can get. And just experiencing not being able to live with a toilet for a week is something that it starts to expose you to some of the things that the people are going through on the planet around the world right now. And start looking at their solutions. Start looking at what they're doing, because everybody needs the ability to go to the bathroom somewhere without contaminating your space. This happens all over the world. Everybody poops, you know, like that's a thing.
Yeah.
And we can start looking at what they're doing and start taking their techniques and what they do, and we can start making it better. We can start doing something different with it. You know, we can start looking at how to create water flow without having to be hooked up to municipal lines. You know, there's all kinds of things that we can do, and I think you're 100% right. We have to start reworking these systems and make them more individual instead of being hooked into a collective grid. And again, that comes into personal responsibility and autonomy there.
Yeah. I've noticed that I don't know, it's just so crazy here. People have to really, you know, shift into a consciousness of gratitude. And we just got the message here. We've hit the end of the hour, unfortunately. I know we could probably go on for another 2 hours, but what's the best way for people to get in contact with you?
Definitely. So if you go to Facebook and look up Eric Rains or Unleashing Natural Humanity, that's my page right there. And Eric Rains, just I've got a picture of my face and actually an artist, a friend of mine, her name is Erin Shimmervine. She actually drew it. And it's an amazing picture. And it's me all in gold. It's really cool looking. But if you go to unleashingnaturalhumanity.com, that's my website right there. On YouTube, I'm also under unleashingnaturalhumanity.com as well as Patreon. And if you want to go to the website, there's more than a few places to start looking into my work and what I do. You can go to the video library and the tutorial section or the article section, and I break down the etheric constructs on how the parasitic construct, the entities, the implants, all those things work, and more importantly, what you can do about them. I've got a whole bunch of videos on how you can start tapping into your own energy and start making yourself so bright and so vibrant that anything that is not of that resonance starts to make itself known to you, because it sticks out like a sore thumb. And then you can work on it on that level. You know, there's so many things that you can do to get yourself out of the space to where you're at, to free your mind, body, and spirit from pain. And pain is literally nothing more than blockage. And just, you know, kind of look in that, figure that out, and start playing.
Awesome. Hey, we'll have to get you back on the show. I know we just touched the tip of the iceberg anyway, but so thank you so much for coming on the show, and keep up the great work, and we'll be in touch.
Thank you so much for having me, James.
All right, it's James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio and East City Stargate. If you want to check that out, signing off, have a great evening. All it takes is an open mind, loving heart, and pure intent to get through these times. Good night.